shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Cody Wolf.
I couldn't think of a good... There's plenty of good catchphrases here, but I couldn't...
There's a lot of them, but they're all, like, weird or, like, wildly inappropriate, too.
There was one about crabs that I was going to do, but...
Yeah, I wrote that one down. That was a troubling line. Yeah. Nick Newart?
Newart's Law. We need more movies under 2 hours. Yeah, and this, thankfully, was one of them.
That's true.
Still a little too long.
I'm going to introduce Jack Esterbrook. He is not here yet. We are going to do
You'll hear him when he comes in.
He is literally at the door as we speak.
He's not coming in for some reason.
I don't know why he's not coming in. He is dancing like an erratic leprechaun.
He is erratic.
Jack, come in. We're introducing you right now.
Oh, beautiful. I timed it.
Not really, 10 minutes ago
would have been perfectly.
I'm gonna disagree with your definition of perfectly.
Yeah. Guys.
Jack, have a seat. We're hot and rowing.
Thank you so much. Our
movie this week is Cocktail, the Tom Cruise movie from the 80s. I don't even need to say it's from the 80s. If you've seen this movie, there's no question what era it's from.
And before I had seen the movie, I just knew it as that movie where Tom Cruise throws cups around.
Yeah.
That's all I knew about this movie.
For a little background, I saw this movie when I was a teenager, and this movie was a massive hit in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Huge hit.
I remember it.
And I remember seeing it and going, like, I don't think that was good. But I was like, okay. And it just, for years, I was always just kind of like, why was this movie a hit? And Tom Cruise was like the hottest thing on the planet when this movie came out.
It was like a vehicle, right? Because Tom Cruise is like an it guy at the time. He was huge. Elizabeth Shue was kind of in that realm of popularity. And it sounded just, it looks and feels like a movie that's just designed for, like, these people are hot. Let's get the movie script out there. We'll make a movie.
Yeah, well, he might have signed on to this even before Top Gun, because this came out
Did it come out before Top Gun?
This came out like a year after Top Gun,
so it's possible
he was actually signed on
before
to
it was
this
a hit. Okay.
Before, well, but he was kind of up and coming even going into Top Gun. And, but it's real weird. I did a little research after watching the movie, and the research I did answered my biggest question, and that big question sort of, like, then answered a lot of littler questions I think some of us might have. Yeah, we'll talk about it as we get into the movie, but suddenly why some of this movie is so bizarre made sense to me after doing a little research. All right, let's jump right into this with some real crazy titles. Did anybody else find these titles bizarre?
Like, I wasn't paying attention to them.
They're like kind of quasi 80s neon, but not really. It was almost like,
What year? This was like towards the end of the 80s, right?
88.
Came out in 88, yeah. It just looked real cheap. I don't know. Yeah. And we get this opening sequence where
they like pull over a bus.
Yeah.
Right? I thought these were cops, but they weren't.
I was so confused by what was happening. I didn't remember this sequence at all from when I watched it as a kid.
No.
And it's like a classic kind of 80s montage, except you're seemingly supposed to understand what's going on, and I did not. Mm-hmm. A bunch of guys basically forcefully pull over a Greyhound bus, and then Tom Cruise, who is one of those guys, gets on the said Greyhound bus, and everyone's cool with it.
This could have totally just been a scene of him waiting at a bus station and getting on a bus.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't that be the opening?
Because it had to be intense.
Got
to
start with an action scene. A lame action scene.
Yeah.
We got a car. Yeah. We can stop a bus. Let's do this.
And then you get kind of a montage of shots of Tom Cruise on this bus for some reason, including like Tom Cruise interacting with holding a baby up in the air, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, and I'm like, is this his kid? Like, I'm like, I really don't remember this movie. I don't remember Tom Cruise having a baby at the beginning of this movie.
It was foreshadowing the ending.
That's
I just now realized this.
Yeah, and And Tom Cruise, I guess, is getting out of the military. They referenced that a few times.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that hair is military muster, by the way, but
his hair changes wildly in this movie, by the way. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, yeah.
We got some time jumps.
I haven't noticed.
But there was things happen.
Well, even without
the time jumps. There were time jumps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. But even without time jumps, he has like...
Like during his interview scenes, like his hair is crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that was 80s Wall Street hair right there. That was...
Mm-hmm. But then, he like, grew it really fast.
That's what I'm saying. It got, like, long and crazy. And then, like, immediately after, like, his last interview, it's, like, back to normal. It was, like, just I just noticed that for some reason.
You know what this is? It's Grand Theft Auto hair, where you can go into a barber shop and you can actually get longer hair. Yeah.
Yep.
And he goes to meet his Uncle Pat, who seems to be running a bar in New Jersey.
Yeah. No, I think it's Queens.
Or is it Queens?
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. And is just kind of like, okay, like there's just, it kind of introduces this and you're like, okay, so Tom Cruise, what are you going to do next? And the movie, it's just this weird scene that accomplishes nothing.
This is, they set up this idea, because also on the bus, he's reading this book as to like how to be a millionaire in like 8 easy steps or something. This character wants to just take on the world and make $1 million, start from nothing, go to New York, the big city. I could take on the city. And they strongly imply through the job search montage that I think we're about to get into, that he doesn't have any credentials to do this. So I think in this scene, his uncle's just telling him, you think you could take this city on? Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they also thought that he's just interested in money and doesn't have any interest in like being a family person, you know, family man, having a wife and kids and stuff. Cause that kind of.
There's another weird context to this montage, which this movie hates colleges. Like, it hates the idea of college.
It hates...
This is a real... Like, I don't know what happened to the guy who wrote this screenplay at college, but he's got a lot of unresolved issues with higher education.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing... To the point where all these people on Wall Street are telling Tom Cruise, like, hey, man, maybe you should go to college. And it's just like, that is... that they might as well be saying to him, like, hey, man, why don't you go to hell?
Yeah.
You know? Like... It's never seen as a good idea. When Tom Cruise does go to college, he seems to go very reluctantly, and everything seems terrible.
All the professors are like knocking him. He's asleep all the time because he's working 2 jobs. But still, they imply that, you know, hey guys, you know, don't go to college.
Yeah, it's weird. But I guess so. His dream is to make a ton of money.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I really don't like this character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like throughout the entire movie, because, he just wants to make money. He wants to do it quickly. He doesn't want to work for it.
He treats people terribly.
Terribly.
Consistently.
Yeah. He's like manic. He's an insane person.
Yeah.
It's like, I wasn't sure if it was like that weird Tom Cruise energy or if he was on coke or if his character was on coke, but...
I feel like this just this
seems
like
a vicious above.
Yeah, it basically. Yeah. I mean, he gets like really weird in scenes, and that weird like smiling Tom Cruise like
this
jumping
is,
on the couch energy. You know, that kind of like
hide all the sharp objects. We might be in danger.
It was he got weird in this movie.
Well, watching this movie is like talking to someone who's been doing coke, because it's erratic.
Oh yeah,
it has
manic.
Like it's manic. It's erratic.
From I looked at the time because it was like within 12 minutes of this film, it was like he had gone from not ever having tended bar to throwing bottles and stuff around like a pro, like he'd been doing it for years.
And Brian Brown is now his best friend.
Yes. And that was like 12 minutes into the movie, I think.
Yeah.
What I thought was there was also no... I mean, this is maybe... Well, it's one of many nitpicks, but there's no progression. Like, he goes out in the town and there's this montage where he's looking for jobs. These big Wall Street firms get shot down. So he sees a help wanted sign in front of a bar and says, screw it, I'll take this job. Like, there wasn't like... The Wall Street job turns him down, and then another job turns him down, then a car dealership turns him down, like, you know, like...
No, because every job he went to, they're like, oh, maybe you should try TV, and then he goes, does that,
maybe try this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do...
Because TV,
yes.
Successful career.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah. But it does happen so fast that Jack is kind of right. You're like, wow, like, they just sort of accomplish what probably... should have been a little bit of a movie.
Or maybe the start of the movie?
The start of the movie, yeah.
Like the opening credits is him like job to job to job to job.
Well, who's you want to waste that bus footage?
Yeah.
Who's going to chase on a bus?
Yeah. And so he takes a help wanted sign at a TGI Fridays, by the way, which made me, I had totally forgotten that. The TGI Fridays
had like that signed.
It's a TGI Fridays.
It's a TGI Fridays?
It's a TGI Fridays.
Are you kidding me? I didn't notice that.
They don't explicitly state it, but you can see like the signage and like that.
Really?
Yeah, and the waitress.
You mean to tell me they're like tossing drinks at TGI? Oh my God, they're at a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me. That's so ridiculous.
TGI Fridays signed on for this movie. Yeah,
I saw the help wanted sign, but I didn't see the...
To the point where you want to say to TJ Fred's like, did anyone read the script? Because this is not good. Like, this is...
He only worked there for a little bit, though.
I guess
he doesn't get terrible
until
he leaves TJ Fred.
Yeah, he's not a terrible person while he's there.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of is a terrible person, but he's not the worst person. We're going to see worse coming up.
He's much, much worse.
And so Brian Brown is a veteran bartender who...
He's working at a TGI Fridays.
Yeah, and kind of takes Tom Cruise under his wing, I guess, a little bit, and, you know, is willing to teach him to be a bartender.
And he has this philosophy on life that, you know, the bartender is the king of the working class and that all these billionaires live in the area, so if you can entertain them behind the bar, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem to have been working for him, though.
No, it doesn't.
Yet he still subscribes to it and shares it with Tom Cruise's character, who just goes all in.
Yeah. And we get a scene like out of like Bar Rescue where there's, it's like the craziest TGI Fridays ever, where people are like an absolute
like yelling
mob
their orders
scene.
And
yeah, just screaming, and like it looks like that scene that they stage in pretty much every episode of Bar Rescue for like the night where things are gonna go badly. I now think that someone in Bar Rescue watched this movie and is like, we need to recreate this in every episode.
He doesn't even know how to make simple drinks.
Right. Doesn't know simple drink. At one point, someone... Do you notice in the crazy drinks people are throwing at him, someone ordered a Friar Tuck? Which that just made me laugh. I don't know why. That did make me laugh. He starts calling waitresses names. It's like a total meltdown. And then after it's all over... I only mention that because after it's all over, Tom Cruise is like, oh, I feel kind of bad about that. And then Brian Brown says to him... Oh, that's not that bad. Wait until you give them crabs.
Then they'll really hate you or something.
Then they'll
like that.
Really hate you. And at that point, I started having...
Is a crab a drink?
Well, I started having notes in my pages where I'm like, is this a comedy? Like, what? I don't know. It's such a weird line, and it's not delivered like a joke. Shift.
There were points in this movie where I was convinced... It was a dream sequence. Like, there's scenes where I was like, like, there's a scene where the movie takes a hard turn in a few minutes, and I was like, oh, this has to be like a dream, and it wasn't a dream. Yeah. Then it happened later on, I was like, is this a dream sequence? And it wasn't a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Like, well, it goes so up and down with its weird...
It feels like it's based on the anecdotes of, like, a real bartender, like, in his, like, and, but that book should have been titled, like, ooh, you really had to be there, you know, for a lot of these moments.
Yeah.
Official title, It Was a Different Time.
Yeah, yeah. I got a kick out of, and this is sort of, this movie is strangely enjoyable in a weird way as an 80s time capsule, because it is most 80s of time capsules.
I mean, when they're singing Addicted to Love at the bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For like 10 minutes.
This movie was clearly
Kokomo plan later.
Soundtrack.
Yes.
Like, they got every song imaginable and crammed it in this movie.
Yeah. Well, if someone wanted
it's like Suicide Squad.
It kind of is. Oh, this is like the Suicide Squad of its time.
Yeah. This is the Suicide Squad of Tom Cruise movies. The Mummy wanted to be that, but
could not quite
achieve cocktail levels of.
No, could not.
I also had an issue, and I like Brian Brown a lot. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who I wish was in more things and who I always enjoy. And I had so much difficulty, and I think this is more a criticism of the mix of this movie. I had so much trouble understanding what he was saying.
Really?
I don't know. I almost put on the subtitles because I just for him, because they seemed... It felt like they were recording him with a mic that was like, you know, literally off camera. Almost like Brian Brown wasn't available for ADR.
I mean,
you know,
most,
and this was location sound.
Off camera,
well, I mean, more like there was no like ADR. Like this was all
like
location
off, like
sound.
Offset.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't.
Oh, well, we should take this out of the case, shouldn't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this movie is moving so fast. I mean, we're probably 15 minutes in, and he has gone from leaving the military to now being a master bartender in New York City with his
TGI Fridays bartender in all of the five boroughs.
They get picked up by like a talent scout or something. Like they're dancing and they're doing synchronized cocktail shaking and everyone loves it. And it's always this great little bit of, I guess, bar entertainment, I suppose. And this guy said, "Your act is great. I gotta get you in my place. I'll sign you for a contract or whatever." And I'm like, "Is this how it works?
How successful are you that you're at TGI Fridays?"
He also says, like, "You'll be famous in 2 weeks." And it's like, "Are there any famous bartenders?"
I was either too. I'm like,
"They're famous for throwing bottles around." I didn't get it.
Tom Cruise and cocktail, but that's about it.
Well, and I was kind of like, I mean, I guess out in like LA, New York City, there are like, it's a very modern thing, like within like the past 5 years of like mixologists, like guys who are making like really interesting drinks, but they're not throwing bottles, they're creating drinks.
You know, that's more like an art or a science. They're not just throwing bottles at each other and
I mean, I never
remember
someone being like, "Oh, we got to go to that bar. They have that amazing bartender who throws bottles."
Nobody says that.
It's always, "We got to go to this bar. That's the bartender that gives me free drinks."
Yes.
That's how you
become
a famous bartender.
Yeah.
The movie has this weird thing, too, where I didn't time any of these, but almost no scene is longer than about, I don't know, like a minute, 15 seconds. Like, every scene is so quick, and then they just jump to another scene, but with nothing really accomplished, and it gives it this kind of, like, manic pace of where you're just like, okay, like no scene ever feels set.
And then it slows down a little bit later, and it felt weird because it was slower when they get to Jamaica. But this part of the movie goes, it is very, because it's like their progression from him hiring him to them now working at this other bar and being like really popular or whatever.
How much time has passed? Like, is that 2 weeks?
That's like, in movie time, I don't know. That has to be like months.
Yeah.
I would think.
Because I mean, he learns all the...
Because it also confuses me as to the time scale that things are happening in. I would also even say
one of the worst things to this movie is that they never, and it should have been the simplest thing, is they never really build a organic relationship between Brian Brown and Tom Cruise.
Well, they do. The Brian Brown character was so confusing to me because, like, okay, he's like the friend and he's like this good guy. And then I'm like, later on, it's like, wait, is he the villain of this movie?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, he's a friend again. Because they were building this up in the beginning, those scenes, I did feel like there was, like, the chemistry between them, and they're building this relationship, and then, like, there's a moment that's coming up where it's this hard turn where it's like, oh, is he a villain now?
Right.
And then after that, it was like the chemistry was gone. But they were building it up fairly well, I thought, in the beginning of it.
I guess in the very beginning, I kind of saw something. But because, what we're kind of getting to is this insane scene that I also thought was, I didn't know if I thought it was a dream sequence, I don't know what I thought it was, but a weird yuppie guy starts doing poetry reading at the new bar that they're working at.
The prison themed bar?
It's the craziest scene. And by the way, this comes literally right after that guy comes into the bar. He's like, "I've got the hottest bar in town. I need you two to come work for me." Cut to a weird yuppie guy doing a beat poetry reading in a bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? What? Like...
And then Tom Cruise, they say, "Give us a poem." And I'm like, wait, what? They never say at any point.
No, they don't say it to him. He like gets up just to get everyone's attention.
I thought they like chanted it to him.
No, because they're all chanting to the other guy. They wanted more poems for him.
They wanted more poetry.
I thought they were telling it to Tom Cruise. And they were establishing that this was part of the shit.
No, because Tom Cruise is like trying to get their attention. He's like, "I want to make you drinks." So he like gets up
on the bar. Yeah.
He gets up on the bar and he starts reciting a dumb poem.
I mean, has anyone ever been in a bar where, like, they were, like, more poetry?
Yeah. I mean, if the bartender got in the bar and started reciting poetry, bars, they got gone.
Yeah. I would have... this bar should have cleared out immediately.
It's a weird time.
And then I totally forgot she's in this movie. Gina Gershon comes in and is kind of hitting on Tom Cruise. What does she do? She orders the multiple orgasm or something.
Because that was one of the drinks he mentioned in his poem.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So she comes up. She's like, I'd like the orgasm. And he's like, how many? And he's like, multiple.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. Yeah.
And we then get, I mean.
It cuts to like the weirdest sex scene in the world.
Talking about cocaine.
It is the weirdest sex scene. And we've seen over 200 bad movies for the show. This is...
I'm not sure any sex was actually happening.
It was more like a judo match.
Yeah.
Hip toss. Yeah. All right.
I was like...
Ring out.
I was like, is everyone like on board for this? Like, because it felt like a fight. It didn't feel sexy. It was real crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay.
Well, I know. Did you read the trivia on the movie?
No.
Oh, because what it actually is Tom Cruise discovered that Gina Gershon is ticklish, so he's just tickling her.
Oh.
And that's what they use in the movie instead of like filming a sex scene.
So that was basically an outtake where he was screwing with her.
Basically, and they used it as a sex scene.
Once again, this movie is executive produced by cocaine. Wow, okay. So then we cut to, and we're going so fast. I mean, like,
but the movie
is going so fast, and he's going, he just comes to Brian Brown. He's like, okay, I've got a business plan.
Now, are they sharing this apartment? I just wanted to ask. They live in this really crummy apartment.
He's making him breakfast and stuff.
I feel like they were.
It's not an important point. It was just something I wanted to.
I did wonder about that, too.
I'm sorry, continue.
But but it's like, Tom Cruise is there with Brian Brown. He's like, and Gina Gershon. And he's like, okay, I've got this business plan. We can start our own bar. We need $75,000 and we can make it in Jamaica. And to his credit, Brian Brown is like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. And also, who is she? It was a weirdly self-aware moment in the movie.
They open up the bar in Jamaica, they can make all this money under the table, and they'll raise more money for a bar in New York than they ever would busting their humps in New York, I think is the idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Brian Brown's, his whole thing is being in New York where there's all these people with money and stuff who he can hustle into giving him money.
I think his logic is also sound. Like, sure. There's probably more money in New York than
they did get a job offer while they were making drinks and TJ Fridays, so
that's true.
That's kind of his deal. People come in the bar, and if they like him, give him money or whatever.
But. Give him money, yeah. And Brian Brown, then this movie makes one of many abrupt turns where he hates Gina Gershon for reasons that were not.
I think because she convinced him to try to go to Jamaica. It looked like, so he's like trying to keep him in New York. I guess I really don't know.
In that case, then you just say, "All right, fine. Good luck in Jamaica. I'll see you at my new bar in New York when I make a bunch of money in New York."
But I think he feels like he needs him to. I don't know. It was bizarre.
It's clear that because Tom Cruise is this young, attractive guy, that he brings a greater element. So there's this necessity there, I think. She's taking my meal ticket.
Right.
But they don't even... I'm filling in that gap. I don't think the movie really explained that well.
No, because all you get is a scene where they're playing basketball.
Yeah.
And Brian Brown's like trying to be like, you know, oh, this girl, you know, she's just basically sleeping with you, just, you know, for whatever. She sleeps with everybody. She, you know, slept with you on the first date, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there's this weird thing in the movie where they keep making $50 bets with one another.
Yeah.
So he bets, and this movie is so predictable. Like, everything in this movie is so predictable. I predicted like 50% of the movie just watching it, all the twists and turns. But where he's like, oh, I bet you $50 she'll be sleeping with another guy by the end of the week. And then they cut to them in the bar, and she comes over the, and this is one, the scene that I thought was a dream sequence because it was so like out of nowhere.
This is a real scene. Yeah.
Where she comes over the bar, they're behind the bar, she comes over the bar, looks at him, he smiles like, oh, hey, my girlfriend's here. Brian Brown goes over and like whispers in her ear or something, and then they start making out.
Yeah.
And then she's like looking at him, and then she comes over and is like, oh, you shouldn't have talked about our sex life or something, and like leaves. And it's like, I thought this was like a weird dream. Like, he'd wake up and be like, oh my God. Like,
because
it was so weird and out of place.
And so unfounded.
And then all of a sudden, Tom Cruise punches Brian Brown, who breaks a bottle and holds it on his neck. You want to cut me, man? I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Don't cut me. You got that broken piece of glass to my neck.
Yeah, this is the scene where it's like, okay, so is he the villain now for the rest of the movie?
And I'm still a little shaky. I'm going to give you guys what I think was happening here, but I'm not convinced that this is even right. That Brian Brown saw Gina Gershon as like Yoko Ono, who was going to break up this thing. So his theory was that he was going to make Tom Cruise break up with her by making out with her, and in the process also being like, haha, I won a $50 bet.
I guess, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That's the best theory that can be formulated but that's from the evidence that's presented.
Because that's when pretty nuts.
When he made that bet, I'm like, okay, he's going to sleep with her. But then I'm like, but that would make Tom Cruise angry at him.
Right.
So maybe he'll hire some other guy to like pick her up or something.
But yeah, how did Brian Brown be like, this would be like in the Beatles if, you know, Paul McCartney was like, oh, Yoko Ono's breaking up this band. And now I'm going to start sleeping. Like, you know what I mean? Like, wait, that's not helping things.
That'll bring us together.
It's also a case of, we're already putting way more thought into this than the screenwriters obviously did. But I think it just sets up a case of, oh, well, Brian Brown's character is just obviously a very self-destructive person, and that's why he's tending bar at a TGI Fridays in New York.
But up to that point, I didn't get that, so it just came out of nowhere for me.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because Brian Brown seems like a decent-ish dude
up to this point.
Yeah.
A tad cynical, but not a bad person.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to 3 years later.
Time jump, 3 years later.
Which, when they said 3 years later, I was like, what? Because I thought it was like a couple months later or something. He's in Jamaica.
Yeah.
But then, later on, Brian Brown says, like, oh, I haven't seen him in 3 years or something. I was like, geez, 3 years.
Yeah.
That's quite the jump. Without having, like, a time cue, like, 3 years later or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't know why they wanted... It didn't really need to be 3 years.
No.
In fact, kind of like what happens in the movie. It honestly could have been, like, 6 months. Yeah. And I would have been like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
And a girl, Tom Cruise is bartending in Jamaica, and a girl comes up and is like, or it's Elizabeth Shue, sorry. And she's like, my friend passed out on the beach. Call 911. Tom Cruise is like, no.
This is my chance to run on camera.
Yeah. I am going to go and take a look at this.
Yeah, this is weird that he would go. Like, there's no point in the movie where he had any medical training or anything where you could tell. Because he looks at her, like, lifts her head. He's like, she'll be fine.
Well, it's terrible.
It was a big 3 years, all right?
There's a whole other movie about this.
He tried some other...
Is he doing this every time someone passes out in Jamaica? Because this would be a full-time job.
Yeah, so he runs over. And this scene, too, I feel like he was... one of his most coked up scenes, because he was like crazy in this scene.
Yeah.
When he's flirting with Elizabeth Shue, it was like insane. Yeah. But so he runs over and this girl's laying on the ground and he like
Tom Cruise, by the way, does everything wrong from like a medical standpoint.
He, like, lifts her head, he like sure. turns her head a little bit, he's like, oh, she'll be fine. And he's like, call an ambulance.
I laughed out loud when he said that. Yeah. Everything's fine. I'm sorry. Oh, seriously.
I don't know why you call the bartender. Call the ambulance. So then, like, the girl's in the ambulance and she's all like super drunk and like, oh, I'm gonna throw up, whatever. But yeah, this, I can't remember like the dialogue specifically, but he's flirting with Elizabeth Shue like while she's in the ambulance, like waiting to go with her friend. And it was just like he's doing this weird like laughing, smiling, manic, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's like saying this weird stuff. I wish I remembered what it was. I just remember it was
creepy. I know exactly what you're talking about. This scene felt like a preview of what the rest of the world was going to get to experience during the world War of the Worlds press tour.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Elizabeth Shue comes back to the bar to hit on Tom Cruise the next day.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. Weird, you know, it's a weird meet cute, but all right, you know, most meet cutes don't involve vomiting, but you know, okay. And then Brian Brown comes into the movie, and again, this is where it's weird. Like, they play up why they're saying it's a 3 year time jump because it's only been about, I don't know, 2.5 minutes in movie time that Brian Brown's out of the movie.
When he walks back in, I guess just be like, oh my god, he's back. It's like literally 2 minutes later. It's like, oh, I just saw him.
Yeah, we just saw this guy.
I'm kind of still angry at him, but Tom Cruise doesn't seem to be.
He doesn't seem to be.
Well, no, they kind of pick up where they left off, but like pre punch.
Right.
Well, actually, I found there were points where, because Brian Brown is talking to a couple other people at the bar and just kind of trying to talk about how Tom Cruise isn't a hustler. And,
yeah, he's trying to prod him.
And I almost thought this was some of the better acting I've seen from Tom Cruise. Like, you can tell, like, he's getting really angry at Brian Brown.
Yeah.
And he's still holding a grudge to a certain degree.
Yeah. That's later on, when he's prodding him there. But in this scene, he's just like, he does seem kind of like angry at him still. He seems like he's holding it back, but he's in that situation. I would be like, I leave. I don't want to talk to you.
Isn't this supposed to be Tom Cruise's bar anyway? Wasn't he supposed to buy a bar in Jamaica?
No, he worked at a bar. Yeah, oh, okay. The whole master plan was just to work at a bar in Jamaica to make $75,000.
Right.
You know, yeah. This was weird.
I know it's been 3 years in movie time, but it's like you said, it's been 2 minutes in movie time.
Yeah.
In the timeline of the movie, it's been 3 years, but so. It just seemed weird for him to be so angry and punch him. He broke up my relationship, blah, blah, blah. And then to, like, oh, hey, how's it going, man? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. That this all fell apart. And, I mean, how long do you think Brian Brown and Tom Cruise were friends pre-punch? Like, from, like, when he goes into the TGI Fridays to the punch. I mean, the movie makes it seem like maybe it's a couple months.
It has to be less than a year.
I mean, but he learns all that stuff. You know, I mean, how long does it take to learn all that?
I guess the time is weird in this. Yeah. Like, the element of time is strange because later on in the movie, we also experience what has to be the longest 9 months that anyone has ever lived.
Yeah. That's where my issues with time came up. Like, how long is this? That kid should be in kindergarten.
It feels like, So Brian Brown reveals he is married to Kelly Lynch. And she looks super gorgeous and she's walking around the beach in a thong. And Tom Cruise is like, what? This seems crazy. Flash ahead about
this 10. This has to be a dream sequence.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. And then he still is flirting with Elizabeth Shue, and we get the first of two kissing montages that are montages of him kissing Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. I mean, just two great-looking people making out, and we've got so much footage of it, we might as well make it a montage.
Yeah. But it should be said, too, that he asked Brian Brown, like, you got married? Because it didn't seem like something he would do, I guess. And he's like, she's rich, so, yeah.
This is the point of the movie where we're a good distance into it, and I'm like, structurally, this script is crazy. There really are no obstacles that any characters are overcoming. Like Elizabeth Shue is like, cool, we're dating. Like he's in Jamaica. There's the weird scene with Gina Gershon and the punching, but like that scene out of the movie, no one has really been challenged with anything or something they didn't want to do, because Tom Cruise didn't seem to want to be in college or do any of that.
Nobody gets grown.
Yeah, just kind of everything is just like, okay, yeah, nothing. Everyone's just like, okay, value. Cool.
Just
like,
living.
Yeah, just living her life. And I'm like, all right, movie. I mean, I guess there's no one needs to change or overcome anything. I guess that we'll just move it along. And it kind of sits there. We get another kissing montage.
How much time is this relationship with Elizabeth Shue last? Is this like a week? Is this 2 weeks? They implied that it was a quick romance.
Yeah, it can't be more than a week.
It has to be quick. Because I'm not trying to like slam Elizabeth Shue's character, but she's a waitress at a diner. I mean, how long could she have been in Jamaica
there's something we learn about her later on.
There's something we learn about her later on,
and there's some bizarre scheme there, but the fact that he didn't figure it out.
I
figured it out.
But her friend is also, it couldn't have been more than a couple of days. I mean,
like a week.
Well, they're riding on horseback, so that must have taken some time to arrange.
Yeah. And then he...
a bartender can get anything. A good bartender.
And they go to a waterfall in Jamaica and have wild sex.
All day long. Well,
they do take a break to build a fire. Yeah, my wife did point that out to me. She goes, do you think they stopped to build that fire?
They had to because they started in the waterfall anyways, and that was on the beach, so...
I actually had a note because I had forgotten a lot of where this movie ends up going, and I actually had a note. Did Tom Cruise really just bring condoms to this waterfall?
Oh, I wasn't thinking about that.
Looking
at all.
Ahead, no, he did not. We later find out. Like, okay.
The question is, did she get crabs?
That's the much bigger question.
That's the great mystery that remains unresolved.
It's probably a cutscene somewhere. It should have been in the script, and they decided to leave it out.
It should have been the end scene instead of the twins thing. Been like,
yeah. And the TGI Friday waitresses were there. They could have been like, yup.
Yeah, he learned everything from Brian Brown.
Now the movie just starts turning into weird right turns because Brian Brown is just hanging out at this bar in Jamaica, and tell me if I get this wrong, because I was a little shaky on what was happening. He basically makes another bet with Tom Cruise and dares Tom Cruise that he can't pick up this, like, 80s business lady at the bar.
He saw him out because he knows Tom Cruise still wants to make all this money. He's like, you're wasting your time dating this girl who's nothing, and and you look at me, I married a millionaire, and it was easy. I didn't have to work at all. And he's like, oh, that woman down there looks like she's rich. I bet you can't pick her up. So of course, at this point, I'm like, he's got his girlfriend, everything's going well. He's going to be like,
I'd be like, why would he do this?
Yeah. So this is the point where I'm like, oh, Tom Cruise is still a terrible person, and he hasn't learned anything. And he's worse now than he was at the beginning.
But it makes no sense. The guy makes a bet. Oh, I guess I got a ticket.
No, because a man takes a dare.
A man takes a dare. This is true. Yeah. I forgot that law. A man takes a dare.
And he's and then Elizabeth Shue sees Tom Cruise dancing with the 80s hair lady. I forget her name. I just refer to her as 80s hair lady because it is her hair is really 80s.
Yeah. She is 80s personified.
And so then he sleeps with 80s hair.
Yeah, he wakes up in her bed the next morning.
Yeah.
And then goes to find Elizabeth Shue.
So just to clarify, the movie is telling us the Tom Cruise character is like, ooh, this $50 bet was not worth it. Right. I feel really bad.
Yeah.
But then immediately sleeps with 80s hair lady again.
After he found Elizabeth Shue left. She left the island.
And then he's like, oh, Jamaica. Okay.
So here's the obvious and the simple fact that he did this. Just, this is the point in the movie where I was like, I don't care about this guy. I don't care anything about this guy at all.
When she comes, because the rich woman comes into his room and is like, oh, I want to do it again. And at this point, I'm like, okay, he's going to be like, no, I'm sad. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Again. I was like, what are you doing, Tom Cruise?
Why would he go to try to find Elizabeth Shue? If he's already a bad person, would he not just say, I got away with cheating on my girlfriend and he's going to go back? Or is he going to admit it to her and apologize?
Is Elizabeth Shue
He's
really
assuming
his...
that she knew.
I mean, they've only been together.
I mean, he's basically spent all of, like, a day and a half with Elizabeth Shue. I mean,
I suppose there was
it's totally skeevy. But, it's just the movie really wants to have it both ways. Like, what he's saying, like, he's really like, ooh, I really like Elizabeth Shue. But then he's like, man, all right, 80s hair lady. Like, 80s sure.
He's got money.
And it's like, okay, I work here in Jamaica. She's going back to New York at the end of the... It's a weird situation, like how, like Alex said, it wants to play it, wants both ways. Is it a committed relationship or did they just meet? You can't.
I mean, they were at one point talking about like having kids and stuff.
They rode on horseback.
I know he felt she was talking too fast, but it had
okay,
that's
true. They did ride on horseback in the surf.
Yeah,
and in
that's a greater commitment than my wife and I have made. It have not.
True.
It's in the visual language of movies. If you ride on horseback with a lady,
you're in.
Yeah. It's now. By the way, we are now one. This is a note. We're 1 hour 2 minutes in. 40 minutes to go. What is this movie about? Because I'm not clear.
About an hour and 44 minutes.
Up in Jamaica, I was wondering then because I thought this. I knew nothing about this movie, so I thought it was like, they'll be in New York the whole time. They're like getting bigger and bigger.
Boy,
and
were you shocked a little later on.
When they went to Jamaica, I was like, what is this movie? Why are they in Jamaica now? And so from that point on, I had no idea what the movie was.
And it just, the right turns just keep coming. Yeah. And structurally, this is probably like structurally the most broken movie I've ever witnessed from a studio in terms of like, what is the point,
Right.
We cut now to New York City, and Tom Cruise is living with 80s hair chick.
Mm-hmm. He's like a kept man.
Is where I started getting really confused about the timeline. Everything up to this point, I could just kind of go,
Weeks here, a couple months there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this, it's like, not so much at this point, but when we meet Elizabeth Shue again, when I went,
wait a minute.
How long was this?
How long was he? So he's living with the 80s hair chick. She's like And I love this about 80s movies. Like, what's your business? I don't know.
Business.
Gotta do some business today.
Yeah. She's doing some business. Trading and selling something.
And this is why I say she's 80s personified. It starts with, she's waking up and, you know, doing video aerobics.
Yeah, Yeah,
in the sweatpants.
Yeah.
And then she's in the bathroom getting ready for work. Business is all right. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Big cordless phone.
Yeah. And Tom Cruise, he's expecting her to get him a job, like with her business. And she's like, "Well, I don't want to do it yet because I don't want it to be like, you know,
even just pitching his quote unquote ideas. Well, he's got ideas to pitch.
She's like, I don't want to look like I'm you know, favoring my boyfriend or whatever. And
translation: your ideas are the worst.
Yeah. But he's like, you own the it's your company. Like, you can do whatever you want. And she's like, well, still, you know. So he's like getting more and more frustrated and upset, and he's not happy with her.
And gets into they go to some kind of like.
Art installation.
I kept, as I was watching this, thinking like, ooh, if this was a Batman movie, a villain would be coming in from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And he's real moody and weird and drunk and like a sculptor sort of is like talking to the 80s hair lady. And Tom Cruise gets in like a real manic,
he says comment like, you haven't housebroken this guy yet, have you?
Yeah,
or was he manic before that caused that comment?
I don't remember.
The sculptor said something like...
He was just like drunk and the sculptor said something like...
And I mean, from the beginning of the scene, she's kind of treating him just kind of like staff almost. Like, hold my coat.
And he makes a comment that makes it sound like, you know, he's just another one. Like she has these kind of guys, you know, like just the young guys that she dates or whatever. And and so he gets like upset and he starts making fun of his sculptures.
Yeah.
And then there's a shoving match.
Yeah. And they get in a fight, and he goes outside. By the way, Tom Cruise's shirt that he's wearing, when we see him take the suit coat off, the shirt he is wearing in this scene could have its own movie. It's
elaborate. The cocktail cinematic universe.
Yeah. But even by 80s standards, this shirt is loud out of this world. And they have this, like they break up, but I've just noted, I'm like, how is this breakup this difficult? Like,
and why does she seem to care? Because at this point, I thought that she was kind of in on it. Yeah, you're younger than me. You're good looking. I would just like to have you on my arm because you're a kept man and I'm your sugar mama. Was basically I thought that they understood this. I mean, he just doesn't like being in that position. He wants to work and he wants to earn.
But it's also kind of what he signed up for.
And she's all heartbroken.
I thought was weird. Now, yeah.
At this point too, like I chalked it up to, I figured like, okay, they've been together, I'm going to guess like 6-7 months now. Like I figured it was, hey, we had a 3-year time jump earlier.
Yeah.
What's 6 months?
It makes sense at this point, but when you find out later on.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
what
you find out how wrong you were.
And by the way.
Exactly. I'm like.
I had to look this up. Okay, so Tom Cruise.
I had calendars out. I had clocks. I'm trying to figure out the time.
Map.
Is this a leap year?
I had to look this up. So Tom Cruise, when he's making this movie, I think is 25.
Oh, wow.
How old do people think the actress playing 80s hair chick is?
I imagine 42. She's supposed to be in her 40s, but she's like a good-looking 40s. So I'm going to say 42.
I thought that too, and maybe they're aging up a little bit.
I'm thinking 80s, 35.
She's 33.
Oh my god!
Wow.
She's 33. That's a rough 33. The hair. I know that hair is not flattering to her. Yeah, that was. I mean, I'm not saying it's insulting.
No, she's a beautiful woman.
They do seem to age her up a little bit.
I assumed that she was like, wow, she looks really good for 40.
Well, she owns or is the head of this company or whatever, so you figure she'd be a little older. But
a little older, yeah.
I mean, the character might be, I don't know.
Yeah. So then we go...
She probably ages 18 years in that span of this movie.
Yeah. And we now full... right, that's true. Who knows? Because I was with Nick. I'm like, maybe even... I thought we might be talking about years, like when that breakup, because I'm like, this breakup seems really intense.
Yeah,
maybe this has been a long time.
It's been about 2 weeks.
We now full blown go into like really creepy Tom Cruise, because his character is straight up creepy and he's scary the rest of the movie. This is a cautionary tale moving forward.
What he does to that doorman, oh my god.
Oh, I laughed so hard at that scene. We'll get there, but oh my god, that poor doorman.
He shows up at Elizabeth Shue's restaurant to creep her out.
Well, like, he remembered. He's, like, standing outside looking at her, like, like isn't it? It's not the same day. He's like staring through the window at her, and then comes back at a later time. So he's really creeping her.
We should point out,
or is it? Might we be didn't an hour mention, later
when they first started dating in Jamaica. She mentioned, "Oh, well, I work at this diner in New York. It's named Jerry's, and yada yada yada." So that's how he knows where. You know, he didn't go across country to find her.
True.
Well, he would have though, I think. Yeah, but
I didn't realize that she had said it because I thought he just happened to be walking by a diner and saw her there.
Oh,
I was like, oh, that's convenient. But if he knew the name, I guess that makes sense.
No, it's not convenient. Yeah. Just creepy.
It's just creepy.
It's more creepy. Creepy. He comes in and then refuses to leave.
Yeah.
First of many times. This is kind of like his main play, and for the rest of this movie is like refusing to leave or obey basic boundaries other people have. Elizabeth Shue ends up pouring food on him, and we get that kind of like very 80s moment where they try to like turn it into like a When Harry Met Sally like kind of joke, like I'll have what she's having, where Tom Cruise is like, think twice about ordering the specials. Yeah. This is getting where I'm like, I don't, okay, like, wait, is this a romance movie? But don't worry, things are about to get even darker to the point where I'm like, oh no, this is not a comedy. No,
this ends up being like Sliver.
Yeah, yeah. But Elizabeth Shue, I'm like, why is she taking him home? She eventually is like, okay, you can come home with me and talk with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's like waiting outside for her after she leaves work.
Right.
And he makes some joke like, oh, can you spare any change for my dry cleaning or something like that? Yeah. And she's like, well, she like walks away. She's like, taxi, you hear it be like taxi or something like that. And then it cuts to them both walking into her apartment.
Yeah. I'm
like, why did she invite him along all of a sudden?
Why did she?
Yeah.
And so then she goes into, he's like, hey, why are you so mad at me? And she's like, I saw you go off with that woman in Jamaica. And he says, I had to write this down. I want to write it down. He's like, it's not what it seems.
And, except it's exactly what it seems.
And it's, I wanted it to be like, actually, it's worse. He should be like, it's not as bad as it seems. I did leave Jamaica to be her live-in boyfriend. And we've been in a
relationship. Had sex with her before and after you left.
Before and after and since.
But it was for the sake of a $50 bet.
It was just,
well, yeah. Take a dare.
Because did you write the dare line down? Because he said something like, no, it was a dare. A man has to take a dare or something like that.
And
it was
like, she's like, what? What are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah. 12? He double dog dared me.
And I'm kind of like, I don't think this is going to work. And then the movie drops the first of two remaining bombshells it has when Elizabeth Shue is like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
But I will say, I was on Tom Cruise's side on this one when he asked, is it mine?
Yeah.
Because I assumed, again, at this point, like, oh, it's been at least 6-7 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe 6-7 days, judging by the rest of the timeline of this movie.
And she could not have been pregnant for longer than 2 months.
Well, she also doesn't look pregnant.
So she's got it. She's not well within the first trimester, so that's not far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, wow. All right.
So we're like, at the best, like a month.
This is probably everything we just experienced has probably happened over like a month, maybe 2 months. At most. I'm like, whoa. So he goes back to talk to his Uncle Pat, where, by the way, a Syracuse St. John's game is playing on the
TV. It was funny because I was like looking away at that point. I heard Syracuse. I was like, oh, what?
I was like, oh, okay, funny. And it's sort of just a weird scene that only reestablishes, in case you forgot he had an uncle who helps him, he's still there. Because the uncle's like, man, I don't know. The uncle's like, do you actually like this girl? And Tom Cruise is like, yeah, I think I do. He's like, oh, I don't know then, man. You got a problem. Like, okay. Tom Cruise tries to go back to see Elizabeth Shue, and her roommate reveals, oh yeah, her family's super rich. They live on Park Avenue in 67th.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise shows up there, and this movie then kind of briefly turns into, I felt like this could have been a prequel to, God, what's the arm wrestling movie? Over the Top. Because I'm like, maybe this is why the Sylvester Stallone character's been gone. Maybe this explains everything.
Yeah.
But her father is like,
Which, by the way, I have now come full circle on the podcast. It's my first episode was Star Trek V.
With Lawrence Oakenville, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Which I did a double take. I'm like, why does that guy look for... Oh, my God.
Yeah, Spock's brother. Yeah. And he offers Tom Cruise $10,000 to be like... By the way, much like Over the Top, with Robert Mocha or Lawrence Oakenville, you're kind of like, yeah, I mean... This guy's not wrong.
Right.
Like, get yeah. this sketchball out yeah. of here.
You
like,
knocked up my daughter in Jamaica.
Yeah, you're
don't really
like
have
a
job.
You don't have a job. You're just kind of a sketchy dude. Yeah. Like, this
he
is.
Just showed up
like,
at my house.
Yeah.
You could make an argument that Tom Cruise is the villain of the movie.
He really is, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, and this is.
Maybe Brian Brown.
This all is, like, weirdly based on a one night stand. Like, this is not. Like, this isn't...
No, it wasn't a one-night stand, because he waited a few days, remember?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's
true. He was
true.
A gentleman.
Yeah. That's true, he was a gentleman.
Up until the moment he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. But, it was a one-week stand, at least.
But he... Tom Cruise, like, tears up the check, and he's like, ah, I'm not interested in that. And he's like, all right. And he's like, you're never going to know that I'm actually a good person. Just to clarify, we really don't know each other that well.
We're still waiting for proof, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. and he leaves, and Brian Brown. And previously I'd forgotten to mention this. Brian Brown had made Tom Cruise a bet, like for a $500 bottle of brandy or whiskey or something, that Tom Cruise was going to come looking for a job with him, and Tom Cruise in New York City. That this was not going to go well, and Tom Cruise does show up on Brian Brown's yacht, and it's like, oh, he's got this expensive bottle of whiskey, and he's like, I do need that job.
Yeah.
And Brian Brown is like psyched to see Tom Cruise. He's like, oh my God, like, yeah, like, oh, the only guy I really respect and trust. It's so good to see you here. And we then weirdly see Brian Brown's wife just start making out with some other dude.
Yeah. It's a show that like, oh, I married her because of money, but I'm not actually happy and I shouldn't have done that.
I get, yeah, it's
a lesson that's supposed to be learned here.
This is another thing where the timeline is real screwed because, so they were there in Jamaica for like their honeymoon. Yes. Here it is 2 months later and the marriage is already falling apart. We've come to find out, lost a ton of money.
Like everything. Yeah,
because Brian Brown takes like Tom Cruise to another room and he's like, oh yeah, I had all this money, but I invested in the markets and things went real bad. And I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, like, I'm like, again, how much time are we talking about? Like, yeah. how fast did you lose this money? That almost felt to me like at the time, maybe the screenwriters were being pressured to be reference the 1987 stock market crash or something.
But I think it was more too, he was talking about all the other, like all the overhead and stuff that it takes to run a saloon or whatever he called it.
A speakeasy.
Where you know, you have to pay for insurance and this and that and rent. And
he was really actually unqualified for that part of the job.
He didn't consider any of that. And yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just a dumb business person.
But he seems pretty psyched to see Tom Cruise and like is kind of like, okay, you know, like, hey, like Brian Brown is even like, yeah, things are actually not good for me right now. But
I was like, he's going to kill himself.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I did not. Really? I did not take that away. Except for that weird moment where Tom Cruise takes a... like an instant photo of Brian Polaroid. Brown. A Polaroid. That's what they're called.
An Instagram picture.
He took out his cell phone.
Yeah. It was like if he had a cell phone, but the picture came out right at the bottom. Yeah.
The 80s were weird, kids. Yeah. We had so many separate things for what we just use our phone for now.
And he like leaves the photo there, and I kept thinking like, oh, that photo's going to come back. But I don't think that photo ever does come back.
I think it was just because it was a picture of him sitting alone, and it was poignant. Because he's all alone in this world.
I guess that's what... And somehow Tom Cruise gets recruited to take Kelly Lynch home. Brian Brown's sketchy wife, who he just saw making out with another guy.
Yes.
And he's actually kind of cool about that. She says, hey, I want you to come up. And he says, no, you know, I don't think I should. For the first time, like, Tom Cruise is not in character here and is like...
But well, because he's starting to
Flanagan, the Flanagan character is like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't go up. Well, I guess I will.
But then he does.
Then he falls back into it.
And then he's like making out with her, and then he's like, oh, no, wait, this is not good. You know, this is wrong.
He actually calls her his best friend's old lady. I was like, dude, don't call her an old lady. What the hell,
she's
man?
She's only 33.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was the other one that was only.
And so then he goes back to Doug's boat, and he finds that Doug has killed himself, and I'm like,
did he like slice his own throat with a broken bottle?
I was like, wow,
like that's like that's samurai style right there. That's
real,
legit.
This is real dark for a movie that at times has tried to dip into almost like rom com territory.
Yeah,
and it cuts to like the exterior of the boat, like in a horror movie, and he's screaming, "No!" And
I'm like, "Help me, help me!"
And they like linger on it, and he's got like the blood dripping from his hands, and I was just like, "What the? Like, couldn't someone just tell him the news?"
Well,
in a movie that's supposed, if it's still going to happen, to add some weight to it, it doesn't have to be like a horror movie or a mob flick.
I like that in your notes it just says Doug is dead!
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I did not really see that coming. And he, the wife sends Tom Cruise like a suicide note from like Brian Brown, which ends with a super poignant line, "Hey, I was always full of shit." Yeah.
Well, I thought this was funny too, because he's reading the suicide note, and it's Brian Brown's like voiceover, like he's hearing his voice. And then at one point, like Brian Brown laughs. Yeah. And I was like, I want to see in the note if it said LOL.
I said it out loud.
And
they did show the note, but I didn't look close enough to see.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
And now the movie goes totally unhinged. A crazed Tom Cruise.
Oh, this, he does like a Henry Cavill.
Keep all the Henry Cavill in Cold Light of Day. Yeah. He shows up at Elizabeth Shue's apartment building and like a nut job, like goes running onto an elevator.
Well, because he's talking to the doorman first, or the whatever the guy is.
Right.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm going up to the so-and-so's apartment." He's like, "Oh, no, I can't let you up there."
Yeah,
and he's like, "No, I just want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to her. He's like, "No, I can't let you up. They don't want you up." But he's like, "Oh, okay." He starts walking away. Then he like turns and runs towards the elevator and gets in just as it closes,
Scooby-Doo style or whatever.
I laughed at that, and I'm just like, "This is insane. Only someone who was high would come up with this as like a viable
At the end of the scene, I felt like."
But
like,
scale the side of the building. That would have been that's more a crack idea than a cocaine idea, I suppose. Yeah.
But at the end of this next scene where he's talking to Elizabeth Shue, I felt like dirty. I didn't feel good about how this worked out.
I felt terrible about this. Like the dad, like, because he runs up there, he's like a maniac, he like shoves their butler.
So he forced his way through the door, and the butler's like trying to close the door before he can get in, and he comes in. And
as far as the butler's concerned, this could be an intruder that's going to rob the place.
Yeah. So he's like, "Where is she?" And the butler's like, "She's in there." I was like, "No, you don't tell him where she is."
And he also comes in. He's like, "Elizabeth Shue, Doug is dead. He killed himself." To which point, Elizabeth Shue, based on what we've seen her in the movie, should be like,
"That guy was a jerk.
Who is Doug? Like, what are you talking about, you know?"
How could you forget Doug? She just met him like 3 weeks ago.
And he like somehow, in the world of this movie, convinces her that this is a good idea for them to be together.
Yeah, he this is when he tells her that her father offered to pay him to, or no, did he tell her that?
No, he told her that earlier.
I think he told her that earlier. Yeah. He provides her, there's no new information he provides her. He just does it in a maniac way.
Yeah, where he convinces her, like, basically, and it's in the span of 25 seconds, convinces her to leave behind her millions of dollars and go.
It's like Tom Cruise charm.
And go marry a presumably homeless, unemployed man.
To trust a guy that she has endless reasons not to trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the poor doorman. The doorman finally gets us the apartment.
I have expected Elizabeth Shue's father to say, "Seize him!" And this doorman's like, and like tries to block, to which Tom Cruise... Yeah. Boom!
Well, he doesn't just boom. He hits him three times, and then a sculpture falls over. He hits him into like a side table with like a sculpture on it, and it like collapses on the thing, and the face or whatever falls on top of him. And Tom Cruise is like, "It didn't have to be this way." And then he like takes Elizabeth Shue and leaves.
And the dad is Elizabeth Shue's dad is like, "I'm done. Right. Like you're out." Yeah. Like, and I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? I get it." It's real weird. So now we cut to their wedding.
Yes.
Interesting. I saw Andrew Shue of Melrose Place fame in the crowd at this wedding, and I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Elizabeth Shue must have like been like, "Hey, my brother can come."
he brought cocaine.
Yeah. And I'm still not convinced. I totally understand what's going on here, because Uncle Pat is there, and they seem to be opening the bar that Tom Cruise has been talking about all movie, called Cocktails, like Cocktails and Dreams.
Well, I think the wedding was at his bar. Was at Pat's bar.
Okay.
Or the reception, whatever it was.
And then there's a dissolve.
And then it cuts to...
A few more days have passed, and we're at Cocktails.
Well, no, because now...
Now she's pregnant.
Now she's visibly pregnant.
Yeah.
So
that was at least a month or two. Okay.
I guess, because according to the Wikipedia page, Uncle Pat lends him the money for the Cocktails and Dreams bar that they're opening. Which, by the way, sounds like a strip club. I mean, that's a terrible name for a bar.
Especially because there's a comma between cock and tails.
Yeah. Yeah.
punctuation
and
jokes.
And then there's like this incredibly long build-up to... Tom Cruise does some kind of crazy, bad Irish, like, limerick poetry, and then Elizabeth Shue's like... It's all based on, like, if they're going to have a boy or a girl, and what's with shoes, like, haha, we're having twins.
And you're not telling them to this far along?
Yeah.
Four weeks into the pregnancy?
That, like, that long in, and it's in front of everybody, like, in the bar, like, when she found out, like, oh, hey, by the way, we're having twins. And they kind of play it for, like, comedy, like, what? Yeah. Twins? And I'm like, I don't care about these shallow, useless characters.
It's terrible. Well, and I'm
we're
also,
not talking
like,
about Justice League. We're...
This movie could have been, like, 5 minutes long, because if Uncle Pat had the money to lend him for a bar, I'm like, yeah, okay, this movie could have been like Tom Cruise comes out of the military, he's like, maybe I'd like to have a bar, and Uncle Pat's like, hey, here's some money, why don't you try opening a local bar?
Well,
like,
they also,
end of movie credits.
They do establish early on that it's a family trait being an asshole, because he does charge Tom Cruise for the welcome home beer that he serves.
$1
That's true. All right, so now this is kind of like So Wrong It's Right, but I'm going to give the answer, and this may answer a lot of questions about this movie. Mm-hmm. So this is based on a book.
What?
It's based on a book, and the guy who wrote the book also wrote the screenplay.
Okay.
However, it became very apparent that the book is quite different from the actual movie. And it's essentially, put it this way, there is no warm feelings, hugs, and it appears that the Elizabeth Shue and Uncle Pat characters are not in the book.
Okay.
And
he goes to Jamaica, has sex with no one, and then storms into some random guy's house and demands money and then rips the check up and leaves?
Well, it's basically...
Because those are integral to the plot of this movie.
I'm going
to
give you a review from Amazon.com of the book. And this is a 5-star review of the book.
Okay.
Although changed for the movie, the original book, Cocktail, dipped into the near-psychotic ravings of a middle-aged bartender who had seen one too many last calls. The Flanagan character in the book is basically a self-loathing, middle-aged bartender who essentially, like, can never get his life together and is just essentially a sociopath.
The Holden Caulfield.
So it's about the Brian Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like from what I can tell, the Brian Brown character is also in the book, but that they're just like both middle-aged sociopaths with no redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's where this movie is weird, because they took a lot of that and then also tried to put positive spins on it, but keeping the weird sociopathic myth.
So the story must be the two bartenders are at odds. One has the hope for the bar, and the other sinks his money in the market and kills himself. End of story?
It sounds like it's just really like a loose collection of anecdotes and like just a real slimy, like icky character. Kind of like...
Sounds like the author worked as a bartender and was trying to work some stuff out.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it kind of explains why the Tom Cruise character is so nuts. Because if you just are like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, yeah, he's treating people terrible. And the idea of just moving to New York City and being the live-in boyfriend of, like, a businesswoman, like, that's where the movie never quite comes together in the sense of, like, joining the idea of, like, we're going to make this more positive. Oh, but keep the seedy stuff in. And you're like, okay. So that is Cocktail. All right. Is it so bad it's good? Nick, I think Nick kind of gave us a preview on Facebook.
I didn't hate watching it. As far as the movies I've watched for the podcast, I'd say it's probably one of the more entertaining ones.
Yeah.
It's no Knight Riders. Yeah. But it is certainly no Man of Steel either.
Yeah. Jack, what do you think?
Obviously, grading on a curve, it is superior to a lot of the films we've seen. I had fun watching it. It felt really long. The movie's only like, you know, a little over 90 minutes, right? And it felt like 2.5 hours. And that's my biggest complaint, is how slow the film was. But apart from that, there's enough funny stuff that happens in it.
I think you might be the only person to ever describe this movie as slow.
No. It's a paradox, right? Yeah. So it's like, boom, 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 brrr, in terms of its storytelling, its characters. But
the movie is stagnant.
Nothing happens. No, and you just happens. Feel like you've been sitting there staring at the screen forever. And I was looking at the clock. I was like, what? Huh? How much more time do I have left on them? Jesus, there's like 40 minutes left in this thing? Like,
yeah, you're right.
Kobe. I was entertained until that hard turn where Brian Brown suddenly turns into a villain and then they go to Jamaica. Then after that, I was like lost. And I was like, this guy's just an ass and I don't care about him. And I didn't really... At the end of the movie, I didn't want him to get the girl and get married and have the kids. And I was like, you just deserve to be miserable with... crazy 80s hair lady.
It sounds like you'd love the book.
I might read the book. Yeah.
Book report episode next.
A little bit like our last movie, like I liked it as a time capsule. Like it was fun to kind of just come back into the 80s, like, and just be like enveloped in the 80s. Mm. But I didn't... this movie did remind me a lot of talking to people who are high. And like it just... it was a little exhausting for me. Like,
so it's like doing the podcast with Jack.
No, yeah. I had a weird experience this week where I had a long encounter with someone who I'm pretty convinced was high, and like then to go from that to watching this movie was very surreal for me. So I am gonna say no-ish, but it's fun as a time capsule, and it's real crazy. And I think people who have any kind of fun with bad screenwriting might have more fun with the back end of this movie, because once it goes off the rails, it goes way off the rails towards the end. It's weird. But you know what? Elizabeth Shue looks great, and I think actually Elizabeth Shue comes out of this still like pretty unscathed.
I mean, she made a terrible decision at the end of the movie, but The character
did. But as an actress, I think Elizabeth Shue comes out of this pretty good. She made a terrible
decision being in the movie.
And it did make me look up Brian Brown's filmography and be like, are there other Brian Brown movies I should be watching? Because I do like this guy.
Yeah.
Made me want to watch FX again in particular.
That's it. Oh, well.
All right. I think that's it for this one. We will see everyone back here real soon. All right. Bye.